were coming out with flat spots on them, and message wasn't getting through. And it's because we're getting stomped on by all kind of electronic communications in the area. Just real quickly, just to finish that thought, the government thinks they own the air that we breathe. Okay? And the airwaves and the communications things and all of this kind of thing. And because all of you have to have a cell phone or two. Because of all of the electronic communications and things that are going on these days, the government is constantly having to auction off certain bandwidths for different companies to broadcast their signals on and all this kind of stuff. And I don't understand it all, but here's what I know. The bandwidth that we were using for our microphone, which was good when we bought the microphone, has in recent years been auctioned off by the government to some communications companies, which technically makes our broadcasting on those frequencies illegal. So anyway, we were getting stomped on by some electronic communications in the area, and so we had to buy a new unit to take care of that. It's just cost effective to just go ahead and buy a new unit. And instead of trying to tamper with the old one that was breaking down anyway. So anyway, that's where we are. I think we're up and running good. Our handheld mics are probably good for another year or so. This one should last a couple of years before the government strikes again. Okay? So, in the meantime, let's have Bible study together this morning. And let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms and Psalm 46. Are we coming through back there, Mr. Whitaker? Is everything alive and well? All right, very good. Becky and I hooked it up yesterday, and I was kind of concerned whether we'd be getting anything at all back there. Seems like everything's working fine today. Amen. Psalm 46, 11 verses. I want to read them all for you this morning, and this will be the topic of our message today. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change or be removed, your Bible may say. Though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reminder of the scriptures this morning. Of who you are, and what you're able to do on our behalf as your children. And I pray, Father, we would be encouraged this morning as we study the Word together and are reminded that you are for us, you are on our side. And God, when we embrace you and when we seek you, Lord, you're there for us in every situation. So we praise you in advance, Father, for the encouragement we receive. We declare that leaving this place today, we will be a different people than when we came in. And we trust that you will make it so in these moments together as we study the scriptures and the Holy Spirit enlightens our heart. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, just a simple message this morning to remind you that no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how difficult your trials and struggles might be in life, you are not alone. God is there for you. He is with you, an ever-present help, a very present help in time of trouble. He desires to get involved in our lives, and if we trust Him, He will always take care of us. Now, I know you hear that phrase, well, God is here. God is with us. God is present. And we hear that phrase and we go, yeah, I know. I know God's with me all the time. But let me ask you a question. Do you really know that? Do you really believe that? And let me explain why I asked the question. I think if we really believe that, we probably wouldn't do a lot of the things that we do day to day. We wouldn't say some of the things that we say day to day. I heard a story years ago about a preacher. He went into an auto mechanic shop, and he noticed as he's coming to the shop, he can hear the guys are all in there yakking and talking and working and everything. And he noticed that as he went into the door of the shop, it got strangely quiet in there. Well, being a preacher, he had a good idea of what was going on before he got there, and so he thought he'd have a little fun. He asked somebody, he said, why did it get so quiet when I came in the room? And one of them sheepishly finally spoke up and said, well, preacher, we were using some language that we felt like we probably shouldn't be using in your presence. The preacher looked at him and he said, well, you know that God is here, don't you? God is present with you, don't you? And the man said, oh yes, God is here with us. And the preacher said, well, if you'll talk that way in the presence of God, don't let me cramp your style. Guys, if we really believed God was always with us, if we really believed we were dwelling in the presence of the Lord continually, it would probably change some of the things that we say, some of the things that we do in this life. Look at the first verse with me, Psalm 46. Notice the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength. God and God alone. No one else. No thing else but God and God alone is our strength, our refuge, our present help in time of trouble. When you can't count on anything else or anyone else, you can always count on God. I want you to hold your place there in Psalm 46, and I want you to turn back in your Bible to the history of Israel, to the book of 2 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. While you're finding that, let me just explain why I'm asking you to do this. It's likely that the psalm that we just read, Psalm 46, it's likely that Psalm 46 was actually inspired by the story I want to look at here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. It's also in 2 Kings 18 and 19, but this is a little more condensed and straightforward version of the story. And let me give you the backstory of what's happening here. The nation of Israel, technically, at this point, divided into two parts. The southern part is known as the Kingdom of Judah. The Kingdom of Judah is reigned by a king by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a good king. Hezekiah is a godly man. He trusts in the Lord. When he became the king of Judah, he went through the nation and he made the people tear down their idols and the false gods and things that they were worshiping in place of Jehovah God and all of these kinds of things. And he was a man who generally speaking, was a man who loved and sought the Lord and sought to do the will of God. And so he was a good leader. But Israel is a weakened nation because of her state at this time. And a nation greater than Israel, the nation known in your Bible probably as Assyria. And what that is a large nation to the north and to the east of modern day Israel. A very large nation that was a powerful nation in this particular time, in Hezekiah's time. And they were oppressing the children of the nation of Israel continually. They would come down to the cities of Israel and they would take what they wanted and they would leave. And after a while, when they wanted something else, they would just come back down to Israel and they'd get it and take it and they would go back. King Hezekiah actually tried to appease the king of Assyria at one point when he came down to get what he wanted from Israel. If you know anything about the temple in Israel back in the day, the temple of Israel was an extremely extravagant, glorious building. Just about everything in the temple when Solomon built it was covered with gold. I mean, the palace was just a beautiful, just unbelievable place. One of the trips down from Assyria, the king of Assyria comes down against the Israelites, And King Hezekiah actually strips the gold from the door of the temple to give it to the king in the hopes that he'll take payment and go on about his business and not bother the children of Israel anymore. And guess what? It didn't work. I get very political on you, but I'm trying my best not to. Appeasement is not the answer, is my point. Here's the thing. After a while, the king of Assyria comes down again to take something else from the Israelites. And when he comes down and he begins to taunt the people of Israel. And he begins to say to the people of Israel, he says, don't even bother looking anywhere else for help in your war against me. All of the other nations that are around you, I have either conquered them or they are afraid of me. One way or the other, they are completely unreliable and they will not be there for you because they are so afraid or have been defeated by me and my army. And he didn't stop there. He went on to say this. He went on and said to the children of Israel, he said, and oh yeah, don't let King Hezekiah try to talk you into trusting in the Lord your God. Because all of the gods of all of the other nations have been defeated by me and my army, and if I have to, I'll whip your God too. And so he's discouraging the people of Israel, and now he's blaspheming the God of Israel. Hezekiah gathers the people together, and in 2 Chronicles, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 6. Let's read 6 through 8. Hezekiah appointed military officers over the people and gathered them to him in the square of the city. And he spoke encouragingly to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of the horde that is with him. Hundreds and thousands of warriors have come with him down against Israel. And he says, nor because of the hordes that are with him. For watch this. For the one. Hear that. Hezekiah says, Sennacherib, I believe is how you pronounce the name of the king of Assyria. Anyway, he says, the Assyrian king has hordes, but we have one. And the one who is with us, he says, is greater than the one with him. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people relied on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. In other words, instead of listening to the lying words of the king of Assyria and all of his army, they made a choice. We're not going to listen to the lies. We're going to listen to the word of God. We're going to listen to the man of God. And we're going to trust in the Lord our God. Now look down with me at verse 20. This is sort of the end of the story here. Isaiah just happens to be the prophet in that time period. And King Hezekiah and Isaiah, the prophet, son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. They sought the Lord. Verse 20. Verse 21, look at this. Verse 21 says, the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he had entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. No wonder the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, though the earth change, though the mountains should slip into the sea. We're not going to be bothered by it. We're going to keep trusting in the Lord our God. Look back over at Psalm 46. Notice that in verse 2, by the way. He says, we will not fear though the earth should change or though the earth should be moved, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. What is he talking about there? In the next verse, the waters roar and foam, mountains quake at its swelling pride. He's talking about a time of great turmoil, A time of great upheaval, a time of great trouble is going on. And he said, even in the midst of the worst of trials and tests and the worst of troubles, we're going to keep trusting the Lord and we're not going to be afraid. You know, Becky and I like to go up on the mountains every now and then. We like to ride the parkway and see the sights. It's one of the favorite things that we do a couple times a year. We go up there and do that. And actually, if you go up Leesville Road just a mile or so, you can actually see the Blue Ridge Mountains over there from the intersection up there at Greenview Drive. And on a good clear day, it's just a beautiful view of the mountains out across there. And you know what? Every day of my life, those mountains have been right there. Every day. I'll go up there tomorrow. I bet you they'll be there tomorrow too. They're there. You can rely on it. You can count on it. You can depend on it. But the psalmist says this, though the mountains be moved, though the earth be removed, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Don't you think you'd be just a little bit upset if you got up one morning, you looked in that direction, and the mountains were gone? There's some trouble going on when the mountains are fleeing, okay? See? And he says, though the earth be removed. We have that old saying, you ever heard the old saying, you know, about somebody pulling a rug out from under you? You know, what you're standing on suddenly is insecure. What you're relying on, what you're depending on, suddenly it's causing you to fall. You can't depend on it. You can't rely on it anymore. You can't trust in it anymore. Here's the picture I believe the psalmist is trying to paint for us in these first three verses. He's trying to tell us that there are things in life that all too often we put our faith and our hope and our trust in, when in reality, those things cannot save us. And those things probably at some point will fail us. They'll be removed. Somebody's going to jerk the rug right out from under you. And you're going to fall. And you know, I understand. And isn't it true? The truth of the matter is that we put our faith and our hope and our trust in a lot of things in this world. We put our faith in money. We think money is the answer for everything. We just get enough of it. The problem is that nobody has ever figured out what enough is. Doesn't matter how much you have, you always want more. And so greed just lends itself to more greed and a lack of satisfaction. And you're never sure whether you've ever got enough. But we put our trust in money. And I understand, listen, we do have to trust one another on a certain level. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. We need to trust one another. But we can't put our absolute and undying trust in another human being because, listen, we're all human beings. And because we are, we're all going to fail. We're all going to stumble. And if you're putting your undying, unwavering trust in another human being, you're going to be greatly disappointed at somewhere along the way because they're going to fail you. We put people on pedestals in this life all the time, don't we? We exalt them. We think they're wonderful. They're awesome. They're perfect. They're just great and all this kind of stuff. And then they always do something stupid and down they fall. And we go, well, I can't believe it. Well, why can't we believe it? They're as human as everybody else. See? And we all stumble and we all make mistakes and we all fall. We put our faith in our we put our faith and our hopes and our trust in our government today to take care of us and to meet all of our needs. And we've virtually made a god out of government. And can I just share something with you this morning? I honestly don't mean to be sounding funny when I say this, but I really believe this is true. I honestly believe that God is giving us this political season, this political cycle, to say to us, because we exalt these people. We make them almost godlike. And I believe God is giving us this particular political cycle to say to us, see, I told you they weren't worthy of your worship. Because they're not. They're not. And God is wanting us to see that. God is saying to us, I believe He's saying to us in this political cycle, open your eyes and stop trusting and depending on these people and start trusting and depending on me. I understand we've got a political system and we've got to go through our motions and all that kind of stuff. But listen, guys, we've got to quit treating these people like they're some kind of gods and expecting them to be there for us and doing everything in the world for us. They are not worthy of our worship. Look at verses 4 through 7 real quickly here. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And let me just say something about that verse before I go any further. Understand, the psalmist has not changed his topic or context. Okay? In the previous verses, verses 1 through 3, he's talking about God. Verses 5 through 7, he's talking about God. Guess what? Verse 4 is also talking about God. And he's speaking about the Lord in a metaphorical way. And he refers to God in verse 4 as a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And I believe, prophetically speaking, the city of God is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's you and me. We are the temple of the Holy God. We are the temple of the living God. We are that city, the New Jerusalem, if you will. And he says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There's a way that God works. There's a way that God flows in our lives. That he comes in order to make our hearts glad. See? God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. Notice that, by the way, in verse 5. In verse 2 and 3, he's talking about how everything else will be shaken. The world will be shaken. The mountains will be shaken. The rivers will be tossed. The oceans, the sea will be tossed to and fro. Everything else will be shaken, but those who are trusting in the Lord, they will not be shaken. Okay? They will not be shaken. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made a roar. The kingdoms tottered. That's what's going on around the world. What's going on around the world? The nations around the world are all in an uproar. Even America is in an uproar. And the reason is because people are just not trusting God anymore. The nations aren't trusting God. America is not trusting God. That's why we are in the uproar. That's why everything is so topsy-turvy in our society. Nobody is looking to God from the leadership perspective, if you will. The nations are in an uproar. Look at verse 6. He, God, raised his voice, the earth melted. Please notice, when everything else is in an uproar, the Word of God brings peace and stability. God calms it all down by the power of his Word. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. Verse 6, he makes wars to cease. Now again, please understand, the way that God makes wars to cease, it's not by appeasement. You know how God makes wars to cease? It's by crushing his enemies. This is the way God does warfare. God didn't sit down and bang out a negotiation with Satan over us in this world and the universe. No, God crushed his enemy. God crushes our enemy. This is the way God deals with the enemy, and it's the way God wants us to deal with our enemy. God wants us to crush our enemy. The Bible says that Jesus will soon put Satan under our feet. And you and I've got to quit playing games with the enemy and quit trying to negotiate with the enemy and just be done with the enemy where our life is concerned. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots of fire. In other words, he does away with all the emblems of war because he settles it all once and for all when he crushes his enemy. Notice in verse 10, as a result, cease striving. The world is in turmoil. The world is in chaos. The world is turning upside down. And God says, no, he says, I'm putting an end to all this. And I want you to stop your striving. And I want you to know that I'm God. Cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Look to your right a couple of books, to the book of Isaiah real quickly, if you would, with me, please. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah tells us about the value, the great value of the presence of the Lord in our lives. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is present. God is here. And you and I need to treasure, we need to value the presence of God in our lives every day. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. But now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now I like that when God says I'm His. You know why? Because how many of you know what is yours, you're responsible for it. Okay? If you own it, you're responsible for it. And God looks at us and He says, you are mine. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I want to take responsibility for your life. Give me your life and let me be in charge. Let me be in control. Let me be responsible for it. You're mine. Let me have my way because my ways are higher than your ways. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Please note, God didn't say, now that you're mine, you're never going to have any problems in life. No, He still mentions the fire. He still mentions the water. He still mentions the river. He still mentions the flood. But He promises in the midst of all of that that we don't have to fear any of it because He is always right there with us. Even in the fire, I always think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. The three men in the fiery furnace thrown in by Nebuchadnezzar. When I read verse 2 here in Isaiah, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. And those three guys proved that God's word is true. Went right through the fire, came out on the other side. The Bible says that their hair wasn't singed and the clothes didn't even smell like smoke. In other words, they went through the trial, they went through the fire, and when they came out of it on the other side, you couldn't even tell they'd been through a problem. Wouldn't you like to go through some problems in life that way? Wouldn't you like to come out of the problems of life on the other side and people never even know you had a problem because you went through it? With the Lord hand in hand with God, and God took you through, and what you went through could not touch you, could not affect you, could not bring you down, because God was lifting you up. Praise God. That's the way to go through these things. We're going through them, guys. We're going through them. And we can go through them, and we can let them just beat the living daylights out of us. Or we can go through them arm in arm with God, and let God take us through and bring us out victorious on the other side. Choice is ours. Choice is ours. God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is that very present help in time of trouble. David says this about the presence of the Lord in Psalm 139. Let me read just a couple of verses real quickly. Psalm 139, verse 7. David says, where can I go from your spirit? Now, it sounds like David's looking for a place he can hide from God. I'm not sure that's what David's talking about here. In fact, I'm convinced that David is rejoicing in the fact that wherever he goes, God is there. I got to tell you, that's peaceful to me. To know that whatever I'm going through, wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, God is right there. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, think of Jonah when I read that one. If I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. In other words, there isn't any place you can go and escape the presence of the Lord. God's everywhere. God's everywhere. And that's a good thing, brother and sister. No matter where we go, no matter what we're going through, we can find God. Jonah found God in the belly of a whale. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found God in the midst of a fiery furnace. Daniel found God in the lion's den. Various places. Moses found God in a burning bush. Gideon found God in a wine press. Peter found God in a fishing boat. Paul found God in blindness. That's a story, isn't it? Paul had to be made blind before he could see. How ironic is that? But once he was blind, then he could see who Jesus really was. Zacchaeus found Jesus in a sycamore tree. Lazarus found Jesus in death. You and I can find God in the person of Jesus Christ, for He is ever with us. And there is nothing more important to us, nothing of greater value to us than the presence of the Lord. When Moses was leading the children of Israel and across the desert and heading for the promised land, in Exodus chapter 33, Moses and God are having a conversation about their trip, and Moses says, "You really haven't told me yet. You really haven't confirmed for me who's going to be with me and help me on this trip." And God speaks to Moses and He says, "Moses, I will be with you. I will go through this with you, and I will be there for you, and I will lead you on this journey." And you know how Moses responded to Him? Listen to this. Moses said to God, he says this. He says, "God, if you don't lead me up from here, then I don't want to go." Listen to what he says. Remember, where he's living in a wilderness, but he's heading for the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. And that's where God wants him to be. It's where He wants Israel to be. It's where their destiny is. But Moses says this. He says, "God, I'm with you. You're with me right here in the desert." He says, "If you don't lead me up into that promised land," he said, "I would just as soon stay right here in the desert with you." Can you hear that? Moses says, "God, I would rather stay in the desert with you than go into the promised land without you." Moses knew the most valuable thing in his life was not the promised land, but the presence of God that dwelt with him. And David, King David, when David was seeking the Lord post Bathsheba, you remember that story, and he cries out to God, seeking the forgiveness of the Lord. And Psalm 51 records the words of David as he's crying out to God in repentance for his sins with Bathsheba. And he says this, and now he says this. Now let me tell you, first of all, what he didn't say. He didn't say, "Oh God, please forgive me, and God, please don't take away my wives and my family from me." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Oh God, please forgive me, and please don't take away my silver and gold from me." No, he didn't say that either. He didn't even say, "God, please forgive me, and please don't take away my throne and my kingdom. Please don't take away these things from me." He didn't say that either. You know what he said? He said, "God, forgive me, and please don't take your Holy Spirit from me." You see, David knew that more important, more valuable in his life than even his family, his possessions, or his throne was the presence of the living God. That was more important to David than anything else that he owned or possessed in this lifetime. And he said, "God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me." And so with you and I, the most important thing, the most valuable thing you possess today as a child of God, the most valuable thing you possess is the presence of the Lord that dwells within you. The Spirit of God who lives within you today. Now listen, we're going to go in a direction in this message over the next couple of weeks. And the message is to get us to understand this, is to get us to understand that you and I were actually, as we've already shared this morning, we were created to be the dwelling place of the Most High God. We sing that song. We probably ought to sing this song next week. We sing that song based on Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. It says this. God is speaking and He says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you can build for me?" Speaking to Isaiah and the people of Israel. "Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you can build for me?" And the song that we sing, we know the answer, don't we? The house that we build for the Lord, the house that we build that is the dwelling place of God, it's our own heart. It's our own soul. We are the tabernacle of the living God. We are the ark of the covenant. We are the temple of the living God. We are the habitation of the Lord. Our heart is to be God's home Because the most valuable thing you've got in this life is the presence of the Lord that dwells within you. Why? Because God is your refuge and God is your strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And though the earth be removed, though the mountains slip into the sea, and though the oceans roar, we won't have to be afraid of anything because our God is with us. He is there for us in the day of trouble. He is there as a river to make our hearts glad. He is there as a mighty warrior to conquer our enemies and to give us victory. The Lord of hosts is with us, and His presence is our treasure. Let's pray together. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for reminding us today of really what life is all about and why we exist as people in this world. That we exist to be your dwelling place. We exist to be the vessels in whom you live and through whom you work, to reveal yourself to the rest of the world that doesn't know you. We thank you, Father. We thank you that when we embrace you, we can experience you and we will enjoy you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making known to us by way of reminder today your love for us and your desire for us as your people. May our hearts truly be open to you, Father. May we be sensitive to your voice. May we be consciously aware of your presence moment by moment, day by day. And may we find our hope, our peace, our strength, and our security in your presence with us always. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stay in an attitude of prayer with me this morning? Let's stand together as we bring our service to a close today. Would you just meditate on the Lord this morning and think about that. Think about the fact that, listen, in order to be experienced and enjoyed, God needs to be embraced. Thank you, Lord. See, God was there for Hezekiah. It wasn't until Hezekiah and Isaiah called on the Lord that God showed up. They embraced the Lord and they experienced Him and they enjoyed Him. Bartimaeus, God, if Bartimaeus hadn't said a word, Jesus would have kept right on walking. Bartimaeus embraced the Lord. He experienced Him. He enjoyed Him. You know, there's a story in Mark's gospel where Jesus is walking across the water. The disciples are out in the boat at night. They're rowing. They're having a hard time. And Jesus is coming to them on the water. Mark's account says this to them. Mark's account says this about Him. It says that Jesus was walking toward them on the water and intended to pass them by. I read that and I think, why? Why? And I think the truth is, listen, Jesus wants us to know that He's there, but He wants us to reach out to Him to embrace Him, so that we can enjoy Him. And it wasn't until those guys cried out to the Lord that they embraced Jesus, they experienced Him, and they enjoyed Him. And a pretty terrific boat trip. God is present, guys. Listen, God is with us here today. Whatever you're going through today, God's with you in the midst of it. God is with us right now in this very room. The Spirit of the Lord is here. God wants us to reach out to Him and embrace Him. God wants us to open our heart to Him and say, Lord, please, please come. please come into my heart. Please come and take control. Please take over this scenario in my life. God, do what only you can in this place in my life. And I give you my life that I might experience you and that I might enjoy you. Whatever you're going through today, the Lord is here for you. He's here for you now. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, you will experience and enjoy the blessing of the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. May we offer prayer for you this morning, for whatever you're going through, whatever struggle you're facing, difficulty or trial, whatever you need from the Lord this morning, may we offer prayer for you this morning to help you in that situation and in your life. You know, there's something about touching one another. The Bible talks about laying hands on people with need, with sickness or with needs or things. Or whenever we pray together as touching anything that we would ask, Jesus said, it will be done. There's something about the touch. I think it, in its own way, it reminds us of the spiritual touch of God that we need in our life. Could I pray for you this morning about anything that you're going through in your life? Would you come to the front of the church and just let me pray generally over you about that need in your life? And I will touch you, and we'll believe together that God is touching you at the point of that need in your life today. Would you come to the front of the church this morning and let me pray with you about anything going on in your life today? Praise God. Thank you. Please come. Any of the rest of you, please come. It doesn't matter what the issue is, and I'm not going to embarrass you about anything. I'm not going to ask you anything specifically, anything personally. I just want to pray over you. Just want to pray over you and agree with you for God's will to be done. And even as I touch you, to agree that God is going to touch you. And God's going to do something special in your life. Amen. And if you're not coming to the front this morning, would you join me in prayer for these who are coming? And let's touch heaven on their behalf in prayer and believe together for these precious brothers and sisters for the release of God and His grace into their lives, into the place of their need. Let's agree together that God is touching them at the place of their need today, that His will might be done in the earth, even as it's done in heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for my brother today in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for John. Thank you for our brother, Father. We just ask you, Lord, to touch him, God, at the place of need today. As we touch him now, God, and we touch you in prayer, we believe that you touch him by your Holy Spirit, that your will can be done. God, we trust that you're touching Chris right now, Lord, as we pray together for her. We thank you, Father, for the touch of grace on her life, to meet her, Father, at that point of need, that need expressed today, Lord, as we gather together. Lord, we pray for Gay. We touch her in prayer today, Father, and pray for the release of grace into her life, that every need would be abundantly met. We pray for the rivers to be released, Lord. We pray, Father, for the river of life to touch Angel's life today, Father, the streams of which will make her heart glad. Thank you, Father, for filling Angel with gladness and joy as you touch her at the point of her need today, Father, and you bless her life. Pray for our sister, Michelle Marie. We pray for special favor for her, Lord, for strength and wisdom and direction. And Lord, as we touch her today, we believe you're touching her. By your Holy Spirit, you're touching her heart deeply today, Lord, to do a deep work in her life. And we bless and praise you for that. May she know the touch of your grace today, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We'll pray for Mom as well. Amen. We pray for Diana today, Lord, and stand in agreement with Michelle Marie that You touch Diana today, Lord. Give her strength, courage, encouragement in her day-to-day life, Father. Watch over and care for our sister, Lord. May she know the presence of the Lord and experience in that presence the fullness of joy. God, I pray for Gary. I thank You for his presence with us today, Lord. And I believe Your presence is going to be strong in Gary's life today. I pray Your presence is strong in Gary's life today, Father. That as we touch him, so too You touch him. With courage and wisdom, direction, strength, health and hope. Thank You, Father, for Your favor on Gary's life. We pray for our sister today, Lord. We just thank You so much for the joy, the excitement that she brings to our fellowship, Lord. And we know that You're working mightily in her life today. And Father, she brings her personal needs to You today. We just lift her up to You, Father, that You would touch her and just bless her with a grace that works mightily in her life to perform the will of God. We thank You for it, Lord. Thank You for Your presence. For Your presence. It sets her free and gives her victory and helps her know the joy of the Lord in abundance. Thank You, Father, for touching Naomi today in a very special way to bring glory to Yourself. Lord, we believe that You hear these prayers today, and as You move in the lives of these people today, You're going to do something special for each one of them, Father, to glorify Your holy name. We thank You for it. Father, we look forward to a day of testimony when they declare the good works of the Lord and how You have moved to provide, to direct, to set free, and to give victory to Your children today by the power of Your presence, living and dwelling mightily in each of their hearts. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Return to your seats if you would. Thank you so much for the opportunity to pray with you today. We just believe for good things. God is good. God is good. And we believe, God, for good things for all of your lives today. We hope you'll go home and take about a 30-minute nap. And then pack a picnic basket and come on back out and be with us this evening. We're going to have a good time together out under the pavilion. And it's supposed to be a good breeze blowing today. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be a good breeze blowing. We'll have lots of refreshments out there. Grills are there. You bring what you need to cook. We've got all the paper products and everything else that you'll need. And you can come and have a good time of fellowship with us. We'll have inflatables and yard games and all the whole nine yards out there today. And yeah, you might want to consider sunscreen today or just stay under the pavilion, either one, whatever you want to do. We hope you'll be here with us this afternoon. Again, anytime after about 3 o'clock is fine. If we could have some people come at 3, help us be sure we got it cleaned up, get tables set up. By 4 o'clock, we're rolling until it gets dark. Okay? Please come and be a part of it with us. We'd love to have you. Let's pray together as we're dismissed. Father, thank You for this time together this morning. Thank You, Father, for Your ministry among us today and Your presence with us here today and with us always. Lord, we know that when we leave this place today, we're not leaving You behind. We may be leaving one another for the moment, but Father, You're going with us, and You will always be with us, and we thank and praise You for that. Watch over us as we go. Keep us safe and well and protected. Use us for Your glory in the week that's ahead. And God, bring us back together next Sunday to fellowship with one another and worship You once again. We thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing together. In Your presence, there is peace. In Your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In Your presence, day by day, till Your likeness may be seen in me.